Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Netflix sued by evil genius.
Oh, I've heard about this. Yep.
Yes. Okay. BackerKit bans AI.
Okay. Thank you.
Undaunted goes sci-fi.
Yep.
And Random House drops Dungeons & Dragons, which is...
like everybody should, right, but okay, whatever. Right. Yeah.
And we'll end on a happy note with art by Noor.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Okay. So, all right, let's do this. So, yeah, the first story, this is not, I don't know, there's not a side to choose.
Interesting.
I don't know, it sounds like somebody's getting screwed over, but, Evil Mind Games was developing a Rebel Moon TTRPG. I'm sorry, Evil Genius Games was developing a Rebel Moon TTRPG for the Netflix property that Zack Snyder is directing. First part is coming out this winter. Rebel Moon is kind of what he was going to pitch to Disney for his Star Wars thing, and then it ended up just being, okay, I'll do it myself because you don't want to go R-rated Star Wars. And so they hired Evil Genius, who is kind of, it reminds me of Men of Action, or that one animation studio that was just a bunch of Hollywood hacks that just kind of like reaped a bunch of money from the children's television programming and did like Spider-Man cartoons and stuff. And it was just a bunch.
Okay.
I'm not really on these guys' side. They're the ones that do Everyday Hero. And so they have all those, they've already had the experience of getting all those licenses for the major 80s and 90s movies to make their settings with. So we talked a little bit about their Highlander, about how they're the ones doing Highlander.
These guys. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So I know I'm not like really on their side, but it sounds like Netflix sucks. It sounds like this is there, you know, this is a good example of, I'm doing too much preamble, but a good example of licensed stuff is difficult because they can pull the rug on you at any moment. That's the trick of licensing.
And that's what
properties
happened.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened. So they're developing this, and it sounds like they significantly, so a little bit of the timeline. Evil Genius says on their website, "We signed an official agreement with Netflix on March 22nd, 2023, so just earlier, you know, this spring, to create a game and RPG related materials, promising a finished game that coincided with the film's release on December 22nd. So that's tight.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
for producing March. You know, like an entire system and setting.
So. Well, okay. I'm not saying it's not tight. That's 9 months. Mm-hmm. And like I read a little bit about the blurb, right? And maybe I'm jumping ahead here. They said like they produced like a 300-page whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. As someone who is not impressed by page count, so
right?
Like that's my opinion. Like, okay, yeah, 9 months to put out, if you're putting out like a Hasbro quality, like hardback book, that's really... okay, that's impossible. 9 months, right?
Right.
But if you're putting out like, I don't know, something smaller, more compact, it's still pretty tight, but...
oh, right, right. Yeah, we don't know
you
the
could do it, right?
Format. Anyway. And, yeah, right.
Well, also, I don't know what kind of contract they signed or if it stipulated a page count or how much material they had to create or something. So, anyway, okay, sorry.
Yeah, but you're right, though. It is impressive page counts based on... I don't know. We don't know the font size. So maybe
it's 72. 72-point font. Okay,
right. Yep. So they created a 228-page World Bible, a 337-page Game Master's Guide, and a 430-page Player's Guide for Rebel Moon. And so... another quote from the website, "Unfortunately, after delivering this unbelievable world and tabletop role-playing game to Netflix, it canceled the contract and is asserting that the IP was that they created, that I guess Evil Genius created, along with the entire game, now belongs to them. So Netflix also refused to compensate us fairly for our work." And so we don't know numbers. They're saying fairly, right, so that there was an offer. Right. And the way that they put the contract in breach is claiming that Evil Genius either brought some images or they brought some materials to, I think, Gamma, a trade show, and were showing stuff off. They claimed that they had prior permission and that the images and things that were on, like, flyers that were being handed out were handed out by both Evil Genius and Netflix staff. So... it was, you know, it was not a thing they were secretly doing or anything. The CEO of Evil Genius says, "Our aim is to ensure our team is recognized for their fantastic work and that we can release the game to millions of TTRPG enthusiasts to enjoy." It's disheartening to see Netflix back pedal on this content that was jointly showcased and received their prior consent. So we urge our supporters to contact Netflix and Zack Snyder, like he doesn't have enough to worry about,
right, right.
to push for the release of this game.
Okay. I think I'm gonna have to be on the Evil Genius side, only because, like you said, Netflix sucks.
Right, right. And yeah, we're not quite sure.
But but contacting Zack Snyder ain't gonna do any shit, right? Right? Like, it sounds like
no. Go to his house.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. Don't do that, right? If anything, it would be Netflix, right? Netflix would be the only people you would contact. Yeah,
go to Netflix's house. Yeah. So previously, Evil Genius has done Escape from New York, Total Recall, Rambo. So, you know, so they're acquainted. The Crow, Kong Skull Island, Pacific Rim, and then of course Highlander, which we talked about.
Right.
So this is all for their D20 modern inspired everyday heroes RPG. So they're not new to dealing with studios, but maybe Netflix was just a little shady. The interesting thing in this is so Netflix is claiming they own everything they did. And they also discussed that this world Bible that Evil Genius created is going to be used for video games that are produced, maybe further, to further expand this world. So the work that they did to expand Zack Snyder's, you know, universe, like what he didn't cover in the movie or what the holes in the setting, they filled.
Zack Snyder, I'm sure there's a lot.
They filled in. And so Netflix said, we'll give you $50,000 and then we're done with you. And they said, not acceptable. So they're taking them to court.
Okay. So thinking about this, I mean, the few times I've done writing, TTRPG writing for contract, like my name gets on it as an author, but then it's their material.
Work for hire, right.
Mm-hmm. It was work for hire. Mm-hmm. So if Evil Genius Games, I mean, like, I would hope Evil Genius Games has something in writing from Netflix saying, yes, it's fine to show these images. Yes, it's fine because if that's where Netflix is saying breach of contract, right, I think the only way that or one of the more solid ways that Evil Genius Games could go is to go, no, right here, we had permission to do the thing that Netflix is saying breach of contract for.
Yeah,
right?
If it's emails or whatever.
Something. Yeah, yeah. If they don't, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so the agreement, so Evil Genius, they paid Netflix for a license and then an agreement to share in the profits. So yeah, it doesn't sound, and and discussing the world Bible. So the missing background information vital to a story as a whole or to the world. They're claiming in the lawsuit, they're saying Evil Genius supplied all missing pieces, a cohesive backstory to the entire Rebel Moon franchise, which Netflix plans on using not only in games and other things, but also in further future cinematic material.
Just an aside here. Mm-hmm. What kind of a shit Zack Snyder movie is this going to be if someone else had to provide necessary backstory to there actually being a story?
Right. Yeah, there was maybe just not enough.
I feel about Zack Snyder stuff. Anyway, sorry.
Right. Yes. So, they terminated on May 25th. They terminated the agreement with Evil Genius because of sharing the artwork at the trade show. But yeah, like I said, there were Netflix employees involved in this, so it's not like they didn't know.
Also, just if they signed the contract on March, April, and then it got voided on May.
Mm. Yeah, that was pretty.
How did you crank out like a 1,000 pages in effectively a month?
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, let me double check. I got that right. Later on that month. Yeah. Netflix suddenly terminated in May. Yeah, that's very true. So I have got to also wonder then about the quality of.
Well, I didn't say that, right? I was thinking that. I didn't say that, right? But like, you signed the contract in March. Mm-hmm. It gets voided or breached in May, right? Even if you're doing like the beginning, you're realistically going to get started writing from like the middle of the month, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you had, and I'm being extremely generous here, 2 months. Mm-hmm. 2 months, and you cranked out 1,000 pages of stuff.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, we're forgetting about AI.
I didn't want to bring that up.
Right, but and even Matt's mentioning that. Yeah, Zack Snyder did praise the work. Like he saw the Bible, the World Bible, and did say that, hey, good job,
still
guys.
Fucking the Mariana Trench, my man. Right.
So it wasn't like they were expressing dissatisfaction, unhappiness with the quality of the work. they just suddenly wanted to grab it all and give them $50,000.
I mean, I'm not putting that past Netflix. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and I wonder. Yeah, so this is, I don't think Netflix has tried this before, and it seems like they're mishandling it, but they're trying to do like a big multimedia release of, you know, Rebel Moon. It's going to be video
on Zack Snyder. All right.
Video games a tabletop game. And yeah, so yeah, they were really like pushing this to be something. And with this kind of fumble, and you know, the fact that Evil Genius is suing means they're pretty confident wasting their money. Yep. Yeah. I mean, they'd be wasting their time dealing with Netflix. And so maybe this will just get settled out of court, because this is bad press to happen right before this release. And the movies themselves are going to be released pretty quick. One's coming out in December. I think the next one is April. It's like there's like a two part.
Speaking of cranking it out really fast. Anyway.
Yes. Right. Well, it's, you know, he likes the green screen. So, we'll see, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, this was really, and I don't know really who to root for. I hate that this is the danger of IP, you know, licensed IP stuff, is they could just be scumbags, and you know, Saul Zantz or whoever can just try to pull the plug on you at any time when you're trying to do something, and this is an example. So
yeah, I mean, like this is a bad example because I mean, you know, Netflix is trying to say no, we're not going to pay you, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, that is what it and. Okay, yeah, Evil Genius Games, based on that prior track record. Not that they have to know that this would have happened, but, like, that track record is all IP stuff, mm-hmm. right? So they got to know, like, nope, okay, we bought this license.
Yeah.
We made this thing, and we don't really own it, right?
Right.
I don't know.
And the fact, and they may really want this release because they want that profit sharing, you know?
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, yeah. How could they not? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Well, and it might be
Evil Genius Games.
It might be an out of court.
Honestly, so, yeah.
To get this quiet, you know, they might want to get this quiet before the release on Netflix.
But we're like, really, how big is the TTRPG community?
Yeah,
right.
No, that's true. Yeah, I think the video game is going to get much more attention. So, and I don't think that's coming.
Maybe that's why Netflix thinks they can do it.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, if they're looking at media, you know, tabletop games and comic books, you know, are going to get screwed when you're looking at the hierarchy of, of physical or of just entertainment media.
Yeah.
So, well, let's continue on. Let's move away from this ugliness to further, deeper ugliness.
Oh, geez,
humanity's war against the machines continues. And BackerKit has now banned AI-generated content from its platform.
Thank you, BackerKit.
Yes. So taking a step further than Kickstarter. So Kickstarter said, like, you can use
anything would be a farther step than Kickstarter.
Right. Kickstarter just said, just justify it. Just say something on the page.
Apparently, don't even justify it. Just say you're using it if that Terraforming Mars is anything.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So BackerKit will not allow AI-generated content. This includes, the high-profile board games and tabletop role-playing game projects on their platform. This announcement came last Monday, and very different from Kickstarter and mm-hmm. how they just, they let that Terraforming Mars thing go on. So from BackerKit, they're saying, this policy emphasizes that projects on BackerKit cannot include content solely generated by AI tools. All content and assets must be created by humans. So, and they're acknowledging, because it's going to become really difficult to say no AI. You just have to say no unethical AI, no AI that's been trained on other on unethical data sets.
Right.
Because Photoshop now has all kinds of AI tools, all their healing and blending and background tools. That's all AI powered. So it's going to be impossible to remove the art from AI unless you're just going to have people doing acrylic, acrylic board illustrations. Mm.
At least something.
Yes. And so San Francisco-based BackerKit, another thing they said is, at BackerKit, we're driven to ensure creators are fairly rewarded for their hard work and creativity. Due to concerns about AI tools and using content without proper compensation or permission, we'll continue to limit their use on our platform until there is a system that can guarantee fairness in sourcing, permission, and compensation. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon if Microsoft has anything to say about it. But that's great that they're supporting real artists, and they don't want stolen work, basically, to be sold and funded by them. And that's very different from the statement we talked about, the Fricks Games CEO talking last week about, and their statement, I guess kind of a summary of what they were saying on Facebook is, using AI would save their family-owned company money and boost its profile compared to paying human artists to do work. So that's not a great position to take.
No,
Think of the family, you know.
Except for you artists over there, right? You're not a family, right?
Your families do not deserve compensation, yeah. But our family business needs to survive, yeah. And, you know, and then qualifying Western artists versus Asian artists.
Oh, that was
just
bizarre. That was...
Your family business, so we're suspect of what family we're talking about here. And so, yes, in August, Kickstarter did add their mandatory AI disclosure. And that's about all they've done so far. And they won't limit or stop anything. They just say, you know, justify. Just like everything else, though, on Kickstarter, it's like, do your best. You know, just good faith and, the honor system.
As long as we keep getting our cut.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. If we get our percent, you can sort it out later. So another BackerKit statement. Content on BackerKit that's solely AI-generated or lacks a minimum requirement of human input may lead to projects being temporarily or permanently denied during the review process. So during a review, our trust and safety team will contact you to help provide verification for the content that it is within these guidelines. Violation of these policies after the project has been launched could result in removal, the project suspension, or project being removed.
Nice.
So that's good. Yeah, they're going to keep up on it. And yes, so they also said, as part of the policy, we'll automatically prevent content uploaded by creators to its platform from being used to train AI as well. So they're not going to let, you know, they're going through all of this effort and they're not going to let it just be, you know, scraped and stuck in another data set. So that's good, too. They're going even further saying, and your stuff will be safe if you're going to use it to promote your projects on our platform. And this is a little bit different from the approach that Essenspiel has taken. So they're getting a little, so continuing the AI on the AI train, they admit to using AI artwork to promote their event.
I saw this, yeah.
Yeah, so, but they claim that protection of artists' rights has priority for us. I guess maybe that's a bad translation from German, but it has priority, but not, you know,
priority. It has priority. It's not top priority, right? And we're protecting the artists' rights by not using it.
Yeah, right. Anyway. Yeah, exactly. So, and this is mostly around their newly created mascot, Meeps. Yeah. So, hashtag something something Meeps, save I guess. Meeps, we're free Meeps. Yes. So a statement from Essenspiel, we are aware of this topic and will evaluate it in. This is so. I got to do this in a German accent.
We are aware. No, you know. This is like, it's just so corporate. We are aware of this topic.
Yes.
We take responsibility.
Yeah, we take responsibility. And
we are aware that responsibility exists.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, right. Somebody should take it. And we will evaluate in detail this after the show. Right now, please understand, we cannot answer your questions at this moment as we have a lot to do.
Well, you know what? A modicum of respect for maybe being honest.
Exactly.
Sorry, we can't deal with this now. We have a lot to do with the show. Right?
That's true. A little bit of honesty. That's pretty crazy. Yeah, so that was Murs Verlag speaking on behalf of the show. And regarding the question about Meeps and timing, I can tell you quickly that this is like, I can see this nervous guy. He's like adjusting his tie.
I'm imagining Rodney Dangerfield.
Here come the Meeps questions. So I can tell you quickly that the marketing campaign containing AI artwork has been created, was created way before we had the idea to create a mascot. So the idea of Meeps had nothing to do with a marketing campaign and vice versa. So, yes, they admitted this. And so, yes, they, he said that they also want to understand the full capabilities of AI and the large language model algorithms, and the, you know, protection of artists is a priority. This was an outside partner agency that developed, I guess it was like weird family, like AI.
I think I saw a picture.
Yeah, families playing games together, and they liked that style, so they went with it. And they had hired Michael Menzel to create a yellow and orange striped kitten named Meeps that was going to be used as the mascot for the show, but he suddenly disappeared. And we got this weird AI generator.
Oh, Meeps disappeared.
Yes, yes.
Not the other.
Right. Yeah. So they paid for a mascot and they didn't use it. So their tickets and their posters and promotional materials had a creepy AI generated family and their wonky malformed dice.
Yep. So okay. Getting back a little bit to it. The AI thing aside, a company or a corporation paying for assets does not mean they have to use it, right? It's like, we bought this, true. And we ultimately decided to do something else. Cool, you bought it. It's yours, right?
Yep.
I mean, yeah. So that part is whatever. But then, yeah, the AI thing is just...
Poor Meeps. Meeps got...
euthanized?
No. Yeah, so hopefully the return of Meeps, that's what everyone is hoping for. Yes, so it was good. It's good to see Beckerkit take this stance. Yep. It's sad to see Essen just say, "Well, we know it's a bad thing to do, but you know, we got schedules to keep."
I think this has been going on for a while, but I think it's going to be going into other areas. Corporate, where it's like they're going to try and ask for forgiveness rather than not do it. Right.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like, let's see if we can slip it past people. Right. They're just going to go, oh, you caught us. Well, we're sorry.
Right.
You know, come up with excuses and not do it. But yeah, they're going to, unless and until people call them out, they're going to, and I'm talking like a general, their companies are going to continue to try and do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's my feel. Yeah.
Yeah. To save time and money and just, just kind of take advantage of this situation because there are no guidelines, there are no best practices or anything right now for AI.
Best practice is to just see what you can get away with, honestly. Right.
Yes, and Beckerkit did go on to clarify that they won't disallow content refined with AI-assisted tools like, you know, Photoshop is full of, like generative content fills, object replacement, things like that, and other standard image adjustment tools, saturation, color, resolution, or AI tools that refine human-created text or with modifications to spelling, grammar, syntax. Right. So they don't want to say absolutely nothing because I understand it's inescapable now. You can't. Most of our software now is so embedded. And they did offer, as far as alternatives to AI and the LLM algorithms, they provided a list of directories, databases containing art and assets created by humans, including the Directory of Illustrators, Cartoonists of Color database, the Queer Cartoonist database, Disabled Cartoonist database, and Women Who Draw. And it clarifies that they will automatically exclude all content uploaded by our creators for projects from AI training. So they give you, take a look. There's these huge group lists of illustrators you can use for your projects. You don't need to
pay
Midjourney anything. Yes. So a little bit of positivity, and I think the court case is moving forward with Sarah Silverman and some of the writers that had their books taken. That's moving forward as well. So we'll see. It doesn't sound like I don't know. The judge doesn't sound very sympathetic, but we'll update you as we hear more and there's more. So hopefully, we'll get some precedent that we can base this stuff off. And start to staunch the flow of AI garbage.
Butlerian jihad now.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, definitely. So it's not good. Now moving on, this is something we kind of talked about before. There was a YouTuber that was like, ew, World War II, problematic.
And was that me?
it might have been. And so we're seeing this. And so Osprey Games is very, very well established for historical, military settings, and they have a popular a board game named Undaunted, and they're moving away from the World War II setting. They've kind of done
well. Are they moving everything. Away, or this?
This is the first. First step. So they're taking this they're taking this into space. They're taking it into the far future. So they've kind of done everything they pretty much can. I mean, the big events of World War II with the game already. So it makes sense, but I'm just a little bit afraid that game companies are starting to say, well, maybe we should step away.
You think so?
I hope not. And definitely not Osprey. That would be the worst.
Well, definitely not Osprey, because, I saw this too, and I forget the name of the thing. It's like, I want to say like Callisto or something right? Is it called Undaunted Callisto?
Yes, Undaunted 2200 Callisto.
Right. Well, when I saw the news and I saw this, and I'm like, okay, as someone who feels weird about playing games based in World War II, right? And kind of, until I lost all motivation, I was looking at historical war games and stuff like that. And I said, for me personally, the farther something gets from actual the farther we get from modern day, the more I would be inclined to play it. So like ancients, right? I'm like, okay, cool. We get up to Napoleonic era. I'm getting a little bit too close. World War II, okay. also as someone who is really interested in card and token-based war games, I've looked at Undaunted any number of times and said, I really wonder how they make this work. I cannot get myself to purchase a game where someone has to play World War II Germans.
Yes, right?
Like, I'm not going to do it. So when something was like Undaunted science fiction, I'm like, now I'm actually going to finally buy this, right? Like, I want to see how the mechanics work. I want to see how they do this. And fantasying it up or sci-fying it up, cool. I'll go for it.
Cool. Yeah, so yeah, you're right. Undaunted 2200 Callisto. So they've already previously, there have been four Undaunted games. The first one was Normandy. Second one was North Africa, Battle of Britain. And I believe there was one more because there were four. But each one of them added certain mechanics. So North Africa added vehicles. Stalingrad, their final, the latest release added a full legacy campaign.
Okay.
So each one of them have kind of updated
the rules. Not a fan of sticking sticking stickers on my board game.
Right. So, yeah, Callisto, Jupiter's Moon, is this, the setting is a mining colony. So the mining collective at the base is battling these strike-breaking mercenaries. And so there will be mechs involved, probably on both sides.
I'm now like,
uh-oh.
Ooh, the strike. So that means one side has to play strike-breaking, scabbing mercenaries.
Yes, right.
Maybe I won't get this.
But they're sympathetic, you know. They make really make really good hamburgers.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, industrial mining vehicles repurposed for combat. So that's a cool deal. So the rules will be written by David Thomas and Trevor Benjamin, and illustrations by Roland McDonald. And they're also the game will be playable as 2, 4-player or solo. And the barren lunar landscape to seize and dominate high ground positions in the game. Yeah, and so, yeah, like you're saying, this is an interesting hybrid of a war game. So it's a war board game with a deck-building mechanic.
Yep.
So you use tokens on the map to represent things, but you're controlling everything with a deck of cards that through the course of the game, you add and upgrade cards, and they also your deck gets filled with useless Fog of War cards, which makes it harder to draw useful things. And there'll be expanding rules for new units and things over the course. So we'll see what they.
Couldn't they have just done I'm getting into setting stuff here, Warhammer 40,000. Everyone sucks.
Yep.
Well, right. Except the Tyranids, which are amoral. Right.
Maybe these miners are real bastards. You know.
maybe. Right. I don't know. Like, for me personally, you get too close to kind of hot button real world issues, and I'm like,
I don't know.
And that's not me saying don't play the game. That's not me saying don't enjoy your World War II stuff. That's saying me personally, because a couple times back on X when I've said I'm moving away for, I just can't do World War II. What's wrong with what? I didn't say for everybody else. I said for me, right?
But what Chris does,
I'm like, at no point did I say don't play these. I said I'm not going to. Right. Anyway, yes.
Well, if Chris isn't playing, we can't. There's no way.
Because that's what it is. Yeah. Because I rule the world. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can just maybe repurpose the strike breakers as a competing mining company.
I could, and you know what? That would have been more appealing to me, right? Like strike breakers. No, just make it just corporate espionage, right? Anyway, yeah.
Yes, so coming
hire out, me, Osprey.
Yes, right. I'll fix that damn game. So this is due out in 2024. There's no solid release date yet, but so moving away from World War II, but you know, maybe just as we've kind of done it all. I mean, once you get to Stalingrad,
that is the limitation of historical war gaming, right? Like, there is only so much history, right? And now I'm not an expert, but there's recorded history, and I'm sure there's any amount of history that did not get recorded, but the fact that it didn't get recorded, once you start going off into the weeds a bit, you're just like, it becomes historical fiction, right? And I'm sure there are those hardcore war gamers who are like, no, we want the actual stuff. So with Osprey's Undaunted series, I don't know if they've run out of material, but eventually they will.
Right.
They could have gone World War One.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
They could have gone any other.
Right, that's true.
Era or stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that's very true. They could have gone. Anyway, but yeah, so, and I think for the look and things, I think that kind of, you know, a mining moon off Jupiter would be, it's a cool visual setting, so, yeah.
It is, but I mean, like, okay, thinking about the other miniatures game that's coming out, what is it? Trench Crusade.
Ah, mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, I said it before, as long as Trench Crusade kind of doesn't go Germans, English, French, mm-hmm, whatever. And I'm like, I'll be down. Like, if you've got humans or the different weird factions, as long as they're kind of fantasy, like, sure, I'll play World War One inspired Trench Crusade when mm-hmm it's angelic stuff fighting demons, right?
Right,
cool,
right.
I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you, like, that's why the other Osprey game coming out, something about Doggerland. Mm. It's kind of, it's World War One mm-hmm era. Something's happened to the moon where it's like either fallen out of orbit or something, and this new continent has risen and its factions playing across that. I'm like, that sounds weird. That sounds cool. Mm-hmm. I kind of went and I'm like, ah, we still got like French, German, British. Mm-hmm. I'm like, kind of. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So, yeah, and we'll see. We'll see if this is a trend because, you know, Osprey's done a lot of fantasy and sci-fi stuff, so we'll see how it goes. And you know, there are the historical war gamers. I mean, there are younger generations of them, but they are kind of aging out, like the traditional, you know, like the kids of the baby boomers that were big fans.
Well, it kind of seems like, I don't know, my impression of historical war gamers mm-hmm are old people, right? So it kind of seems like you do your 40K, you do your stuff, and then you kind of age into historical wargaming. And like I've said before any number of times, mm-hmm, I see the appeal of kind of the historical limitations this is what the unit was actually composed of. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm this many things in a company, and this is this uniform, and that's whatever. So I understand the appeal, but I don't know why it kind of appeals to old people. I don't know.
That reminiscing, yes. A simpler time when we just hated some Nazis.
Not enough, apparently.
And see, instead of bringing them in front of Canadian Parliament, we just shot at them. Anyhow, well, let's take a step back into history. This is kind of funny. Well, this is current, but it kind of reminds us of something of D&D's past. So Penguin Random House will stop distributing D&D. And so this isn't going to be a big impact on local game stores or really anything. It's just going to be, big retail retail sources that you know Penguin Random House supplied. So it may affect things like, you know, Walmart and
Target
and those kind of big box stores. Mm. So you may D&D may be less visible, but they aren't going to be interested in selling physical books much longer. So this is probably not a problem. And this is kind of old news. They made this announcement back in September, but a memo went out from Penguin Random House. They will no longer distribute D&D starting 2024. So 50 years is enough. I guess it wasn't the whole 50 years. But the memo went on to say, effective December 31st, 2023, Penguin Random House LLC will cease distributing titles of Wizards of the Coast LLC. Depending on the product, please ensure that the vendor of records for Wizards of the Coast titles is changed to one of their new distributors. And here is the list. So they still are being distributed by Alliance, Diamond, and GTS, and then abroad, Asmodee. In UK and Europe, but it may, you know, one of those bigger distributors, I guess Asmodee has us covered, so Japan will still be getting,
you know, because I buy a lot of D&D books.
Yeah, so this will basically just affect the general book trade, you know, whoever was receiving from a general book trade publisher, and may not have a huge effect, but it may also be a sign of them kind of moving away.
It's a sign of them moving away from physical books.
Yeah, and just saying, it's not. We don't need all of these distributors. We'll narrow down the list. But it's funny that this is Random House, because that historically that's how TSR got into trouble. They made this wacky ass deal with Random House.
All right,
back in the day in the 80s, where they said, "You pay us up front, and we'll send you the books, and if whatever you don't sell, go ahead and send back to us." And that's where the insane debt and everything before they got sold off or before they got acquired happened, is because they had this crazy deal with Random House, and Random House started saying, we've got warehouses full of your books. We're done with this.
Here they are back. Yeah,
we're sending them back to you. Now pay us. And so it's funny.
With what money?
It's funny that this is. But that was such a crazy way to structure their business. I mean, I guess in the short term, it served them very well, because they, as soon as they produced something, they had the money up front.
Right.
It's finished, pay us, you know? And right. So they didn't have to
and
worry
about... And we'll use that to make something else.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't have to worry about sales, but yeah, that eventually caught up with them, and that's why they're owned by Wizards of the Coast. Yeah, that eventually degraded into...
Hasbro.
Hasbro, the situation that we have today. But that's it for the big Random House distribution. So that's a long weird history of Random House and Dungeons and Dragons coming to an end. Let's close that chapter.
Maybe it'll open again in the future.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Maybe they get sold out.
Maybe Hasbro will go, you know what, moving to digital only. Bad idea.
Yeah, that didn't do well. We'll see what they what they end up. God, I can't believe we got the 50th anniversary of all this nightmare coming up next year, just a few months away. Let's end on a positive note. There's a little bit of sadness in this, but a positive note overall. So Art by Noor is on Kickstarter. I think it's in its final week, and it is a coffee table book, art book of the collected work of Morkbjørg's Johan Noor. Nice. So the page is super friendly, and like you really get to know the artist if you're not familiar with him, if you've just seen his work on the Morkbjørg and a lot of the supporting works, and a lot of the Stockholm Cartel stuff. So it says, "Hi, I'm Johan Noor, a visual artist, graphic designer, and role-playing game enthusiast from the cold, dark of Sweden." And this was great. He did a little bit of his history, because he basically said, "I got associated with Pelle Nielsen's pitch black heavy metal tabletop role-playing game Morkbjørg, and did a ton of illustrations. And everyone that was doing supporting work asked him to do covers and stuff." Hmm. So he said, "Looking back, it's actually wild how much I've drawn since I think 2019. So just since 2019, he's been insanely busy. So every piece of work that he's drawn since the release of Morkbjørg 2019, and a few pieces included that were earlier. So Barkhexen and Mutant is also involved. He did some early stuff for those. And the thing that he said that's interesting is the... You know, it's all done on the smaller kind of small format of A5 or whatever, the small.
Oh, that is small. Yeah. A5. Okay.
Yeah. That smaller, is it B4? I don't know. The small format of those Morkbjørg books. And he said everything he drew was on a much larger scale. So he wanted to do a coffee table book that actually showed off the detail of these larger pieces that he did. So this coffee table book will include behind-the-scenes stuff, sketches, refused versions from freelance pieces, scrapped ideas, and art for projects that never got anywhere. So the interesting thing at the end said, "Oh, hey, and another thing that's pretty significant to the publishing of this book, I'm quitting my day job and switching over to doing this, drawing skulls and making role-playing games full time."
Oh, nice.
So by the time this campaign
launches.
That's
the dream, isn't
it? Yes, yes. So it's very symbolic in a way, and pretty neat. Yeah.
Who doesn't want to draw skulls and make role-playing games as a full-time job?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So the format of the book will be 270 by 340 millimeters, which is about basically 10.5 by 13.5 inch coffee table book. Yeah, it's a nice big one. So some pieces have only been printed at A5. So now you'll see the big full detail. It'll be about 232 pages plus covers. And because of the unique way that a lot of this art was published, he's going to go with an 8-color printing process.
Wow.
So that's CMYK plus 4 spot colors. And the book will be bound in cloth, gold foil, silkscreen details, and stickers, everything to
Now I really want to know what the 4 spot colors are.
Yes.
Because as someone who did the printing, printing stuff before coming to Japan, I'm interested in
It's got
to
be that yellow, that more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. that bright yellow. Yep.
Right. So, he says he's a print geek and loves this stuff. So he wants to make this book really reflect and also how creative, that RPG is. And, so the other cool thing, which unfortunately, so this is the sad part, he was going to do 200 special copies that were going to be signed copies and include a fine art print. And basically he said, "I'm going to go ham on your book with markers and pens and a bunch of stickers and do crazy things."
Overselling it.
But unfortunately not available anymore.
Right,
yeah, okay. So very quickly those 200.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those 200 copies. But yes, and you can also contact him if you're one of those lucky 200. Contact him on the page and ask for something specific, a specific kind of art that you would like. Otherwise, he will just defile your book randomly. So that sounds really fun. The book itself will go to retail on probably Free League, or there'll be web store where it will be available. But you should support this artist directly. now because he'll just once it's at retail, he's going to get a cut of it. Now he's going to get all the support.
Except that cut that Kickstarter gets.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Except the Kickstarter cut. Yeah. Yes. But yeah. So this is a more direct way to support the artist and his art. And I'm so happy to hear that this is becoming full time work, because his work is just, there's so many games like Into the Odd. There's just so many different games that he was doing work for, and it's great to see. Not only this work collected, but that this is becoming his career. Nice. So, yeah, very, very happy to see that. And this is a good celebration. It's a nice timing and a good celebration of all the work he's done. And I can't believe it's only been, like, heavy duty since 2019. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. And it was enough to make a coffee table book. I would still have trouble filling a coffee table book with my tiny little illustrations.
If you blew them up. To
Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah, so excellent. So take a look at that. I'll put a link to Art by Noor, and keep an eye out during this last week, because some people get enthusiastic. I think it's about $180 for the limited edition. That's one. Yep. So it's significant, and so people do drop out. They're like, oh, I definitely want this. Oh man, I'm not gonna be able
to. Oh, can't afford it. Yep. Yeah. So what? Yeah.
So there may be some dropouts. So keep an eye out for that, just in case. I may do the same. I can't say whether or not, but that's always an option with the limited. They close pretty early, but sometimes people just drop say out. What was I thinking? I can't afford this.
I gotta eat.
I'm so hungry. All right, but so take a look at that project. So that'll do it for this week.
Yeah, and I actually got a bounce real fast.
Okay. So where can people find you?
On almost at X. That's not it. I'm done using that site. Blue Sky, there you go. Blue Sky, Instagram, and maybe possibly kind of Threads. It's HiveMind, HYVEMYND, where I'm still slowly trickling out little pixel art dungeons of various color palettes and not sure what to do.
Oh, yeah, saw a digital, you did a digital mock-up of
book. I thought it looked pretty good. Now I just got to come up with other stuff.
Take for a
it.
Look yep. at Lulu, or there's a couple of print-on-demand
places. Mixum has, I've requested paper samples from Mixum like 3 times, and they just don't send them.
No, not to you.
Not to me. Apparently not. Anyway.
If you spelled HiveMind with I's, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. It's not my address. Right. Anyway. But yes. Yeah, that's where you can find me. And I got to bounce.
Okay. If you need to go ahead. I can do all the rambling.
Okay.
So thank you, Chris. It was good to see you. And we'll do this again next week.
Yeah. Bye, everybody. Later, mortals.
All right. And I'm still I'm still doing my single panel gag cartoon. So Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch, and Abuse Cartoons on social media. And I basically just draw my single panel gag cartoon, 2 of those every week, and eat some Japanese snacks. And those purple sweet potato chocolates are terrible, so avoid them at all costs. Marshmallows were the worst. They were like veggie, like some kind of like, yeah, like veggie-based marshmallows.
Made so proper with horse hooves.
Yes, exactly. We need our boiled down hooves. But and if you'd like to support what we're doing on the weekly, and say goodbye to Chris. See you, Chris. We will. You can go to upturntable.com, and that's where we have everything, our actual plays, this weekly, and other stuff that we've been doing, unboxings, lore videos, all that good stuff. And if you'd like to support what we're doing and become a weakling, the strongest of all supporters, visit patreon.com/upturntable, and you can support us there. And that's where the audio for this entire live stream will go on the RSS feed. And they've also just changed Patreon, so now there's a big community chat thing. So I think it's going to be much more interactive, because basically it was only direct messages and comments before. So now we can have an active community chat going. So find out what everyone is up to. So thank you for joining us. We'll do the same thing next week. And Upturntable on all social media. So thanks for listening to or watching the weekly, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.